Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 22 4466. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings today are taken from the book of Job, chapter 13, and Romans 7, verses 1 to 6. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled New Life in the Spirit.
So we continuing the book of Job, and so Job is a story of a man who loses everything, literally everything, and even is in very poor health condition, and he doesn't know why all this is happening to him. And he has three friends who throughout the book are not very helpful as they tried to console him. So this is chapter 13 of the book of Job.
Look, my eye has seen all this, my ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue my case with God. As for you, you whitewash with lies. All of you are worthless physicians. If you would only keep silent, that would be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning, and listen to my pleadings of my lips. Will you speak falsely for God, and speak deceitfully for him? Will you show partiality towards him? Will you plead the case for God? Will it be well with you when he searches you out? Or can you deceive him as one person deceives another? He will surely rebuke you. If in secret you show partiality, will not his majesty terrify you, and the dread of him fall upon you? Your maxims are proverbs of ashes. Your defences are defences of clay. Let me have silence, and I will speak, and let come on me what may, and I will take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand. See, he will kill me. I have no hope, but I will defend my ways to his face. This will be my salvation, that the godless shall not come before him. Listen carefully to my words, and let my declarations be in your ears. I have indeed prepared my case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Who is there that will contend with me? For then I would be silent and die. Only grant two things to me, then I will not hide myself from your face. Withdraw your hands far from me, and do not let dread of you terrify me. Then call, and I will answer, or let me speak, and you reply to me. How many are my iniquities and my sins? Make me known my transgression and my sin. Why do you hide your face and count me as your enemy? Will you frighten a wind-blown leaf and pursue dry chaff? You write bitter things against me and make me reap the iniquities of my youth. You put my feet in the stocks and watch all my paths and set a bound to the soles of my feet. One wastes away like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And then our New Testament is taken from the letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verse 1 to 6.
Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only during the person's lifetime? Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning her husband.
Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she remarries another man, she is not an adulteress. In the same way, my friends, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we are slaves not under the old written code, but under the new life of the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Lynn and Joycey. Concentrate on that second paragraph of Romans, so that if there is something else that kind of for you jumped, do keep in mind and share after. On Sunday, we looked at chapter 12 of that same letter, where Paul speaks about being transformed in the renewing of our minds in light of all that God has done on our behalf. And so this is a few chapters before, and he still is in that kind of part of his letter of telling all that we've received in Christ. And in this passage, he introduces how living in the power of the Holy Spirit, under the Holy Spirit, gives us new freedom. It speaks here of, he uses a kind of a common example of the days about marriage, and that the only way to be free in marriage was through a death, and that the person who would then remarry after death wouldn't be seen as someone committing adultery, because the other partner would not be alive anymore. And so he used that example that was well known in those days to speak about what happened when we moved from not knowing Jesus to knowing him. Now, it's a bit different for us because we're not born as Israelites. We're not born as Jews. So kind of the law is a bit strange for us. But maybe at some point, if we're Christian, we started reading the Bible, or we heard messages, and we maybe tried to live a Christian life, kind of putting our own law to us to maybe try to reach out to God, or get better and hope that God will be pleased with that. And we realize, most probably, yeah, that's actually my experience, that it's impossible to live perfectly. We know we always fail. So somehow we all have those realities of, I should live like this, but I can't. And so for Jews, that was very strong. They knew how to live because they had the revelation from the Old Testament. But they realized that it was impossible to live that kind of life. And so Paul speaks that in Christ, you died to that old ways, because the law was only there to show that there was really a problem, that we needed to be freed, that we needed to be forgiven. And Jesus, dying on the cross, died for that. He died on our behalf, taking on himself the cost of our disobedience, so that we could be free. And so when he speaks here of while we were living in the flesh, it's not just about this living in our bodies. In a sense, there is nothing sinful in living in our bodies. God created our bodies, and we are embodied people. And even with the resurrection, we'll have glorious bodies. But it's more about a realm. When the Israelites were living in the realm of the law, then those things happened, their sinful passion would arose, and they will realize that they can't please God in their own strength. But when they realize what God did on their behalf, that Jesus, using the words that they would know, is the Messiah for them, was the rescuer, the one who God sent to rescue them from the law, those who accepted that message received the Holy Spirit, and they became born again, or they we're put in a new realm, not the realm of the flesh with all its natural abilities, or we could say disabilities, but now in the realm of the spirit. And in the realm of the spirit, we don't live under the law, we don't live under rules to try to please God. We know that we are pleasing God through faith, through our faith in what he has done for us. And we're pleasing God through faith in hearing what God is saying through the Holy Spirit as we listen to scripture, and as we kind of sense what God wants us to do or to be, and to grow in faith and in obedience. And that's not a written code, and that's the new life in the spirit. And I like the way he used the word, because he says, well, you were slave to sin when you were on your own without God's life in you, but now you are slave to the Holy Spirit. You belong to God, you belong to Christ, you've died with Christ, and he has given you a new life. And the Holy Spirit enables us to live that life more and more. So that's this whole passage about living in the flesh means, well, we all, as non-Christians, were living in that reality where we were unable to please God. Living in the Spirit is living through faith, accepting what he has done on our behalf through the cross, dying with Christ, and learning to live this new life, this Christian life, not in our own strength, but in faith and obedience, learning to walk with God through the empowering of his Holy Spirit. And that's why he moved to chapter 12, when he says, in light of all that God has done for you. Our proper worship, our proper response is to offer our bodies, to offer our whole life as a living sacrifice. And that will produce the fruits that we've looked Sunday before, the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy and peace and goodness and kindness and gentleness and patience and self-control. All these are things that God produces in us as we learn to put our faith and grow in him. That's my little reflection on that second paragraph. We still had the first one, or the Job. I kind of struggled a little bit with Job. I think it was a bit heavy, but I think it was very much his defense. Job defending himself out of great suffering. So anything that for you has...
Thank you for the reflection on Romans. Romans is quite, I was going to say deep, but it's, yes. I always wonder why it's, you know, it's the first book after Acts, because if you're a new Christian and you dive into Romans, I don't know if you, you know, but anyway, that's me. I just wanted how Job struck me, his passage, and I find it quite reassuring that we are actually allowed to rage at God sometimes when we don't understand why something's happening, and there's lots of whys, and we know there's not going to be any answers. And Job gives you that, doesn't it? Parts of it. I don't really totally understand it, but yeah, it's okay for us to question. The thing is, we've got to take time to listen for his answer. Probably not very good at that. I've got the commentary, going back to Romans, I've got the commentary, couple of books by Tom Wright, which I have to say, put a few light bulbs on.
Very good.
What about you, Joycey? Do you, you know, if you were a new Christian, would you dive into Romans as your first letter? It wasn't his first letter, was it? It was one of Paul's later letters.
No. I wonder whether I need to double check that, but I think the letters were put in order of length. So you kind of have Act, which makes sense because it's the kind of the birth of the church. But after that, Roman, and then you have 1 and 2 Corinthians are very long letters. And then you get shorter letters. And then they all addressed to church, and then you get what we call pastoral letters, which are addressed to people like Timothy, and then it goes to very short letters like 1 John and 2 John, 3 John. And I think it was put not in a chronological or even theological, but more in a length because of its length.
It's not me then.
So if you want the long ones, then you start there. If you want the shorter ones, you go a little bit further in the New Testament. There are a few shorter ones there.
Okay.
But I think you're right. I think it's possibly one of his last one that he wrote, because it is the most theological one. And Rome, it's a city, a church he hadn't visited. So all the other letters there are in response to churches that he had planted, and he had heard of issues and problems, and he writes to them. But Romans was a place he hadn't been yet, and he was on his way to visit, so he wrote them a letter.
It's a wonderful letter, isn't it? When you're, when you're, you know, into your faith, and it needs to be chunked, and the fact that you spoke on that one paragraph, having read the one before, you explained his thinking behind it. It's a really rich, it's very rich teaching, isn't it? It just doesn't, for me, do to read a whole lot of it, because it then goes right over my head.
But it's a letter that has always been transformative to key season in the life of the church. So Martin Luther, it was the letter who transformed it. The righteous shall live by faith, and we find it in Romans. So Karl Barth, who was a big theologian in the 20th century, was also the letter to the Roman, and his commentary really challenged the more liberal side of the church and challenged the whole German kind of very dry theology, and brought them back to realize the grace and living by faith. And I think it's a very powerful but very deep, as you said.
Very rich, though. It's just rich in understanding if somebody unpacks it for you. If you actually put your hand up and say,
if you're new to Christian, they say like, whoa, this is, it's like writing a little bit of philosophy when you're just learning to read or something like that.
Thank you.
Anything else for you, Joycey?
No, not really. It's interesting listening to your comments, definitely.
Yeah, thank you. So, well, let's pray. Let's pray with gratitude for all that God has done on our behalf, is doing and will continue to do. And as we pray for the day and its task, the world and its need, and the church and her life, let's pray with trust and confidence, but also with boldness. And there are things that really are disturbing, things that we see around us, but also in the world today. And so let's come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we proclaim afresh and again that we believe in your sovereignty. Doesn't always answer all the questions about suffering and injustice, things that happen around us, but sometimes in our own very life. The people we love and we see stuck or in places of great darkness. And yet when we looked at the great love you displayed on the cross, it at least fills us with trust and faith that you are truly love. And even if we don't understand the suffering and sometimes our own suffering, Lord, we choose to trust in you, in your unfailing love, in the promises that you have transferred us from that expression, realm of the flesh, where we were without strength, unable to please you, to that new place of life, place of the spirit, where all the promises are true, that we belong to you, that your name, our name is written in the palm of your hands and in the book of lives. And that one day when we will see you face to face, we will understand or know. So Lord, help us in the meantime to continue to walk with you the best we can, to trust you day by day. So we commit our day to day, we commit our thoughts, we commit our lives. Fill us afresh.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.